And now, the Sleepwalk Worldwide Podcast. Here are your hosts, Brandon Staten and Tyler Hansbrough.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sleepwalk Worldwide Podcast. This is Sleep Dog with the Big Hulk.
What's up, everybody? It's the Big Hulk. Excited about this podcast. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, but hey, I'm ready to be in the studio with you sleeping. Yeah, I'm ready to pot.
Also known as Sunday afternoon, 3:18. And boy, are we in just a dead period of things to talk about. The playoffs are giving us nothing in any sport. It's just blowout central. Although, some surprising blowouts. We got Denver just steamrolling the Lakers. We'll get into that. We will talk about how Jimmy is just shocking the world, and what a group of role player players those guys have. Up 2-0 win the first two games at Boston. Gotta love it. Portnoy's about to jump off a cliff. Got the Canes just losing them in overtime. We'll probably say like one sentence about that toward the end because we don't really know who a lot of the players are. But I do have a couple interesting anecdotal stories about how much of the Canes games I've seen so far. But biggest news so far as Carolina fans concerned is Caleb Love decommits from Michigan. And, you know, it's kind of speculation runs. Why do people even think he's coming back here? Not going to happen. A Sleep Dog doesn't have any inside information. It just seems illogical. But what do you think's going on there? We'll start there. Caleb Love, obviously, biggest transfer, probably maybe one of the biggest, definitely in the NCAA, going to Michigan, and now he's not. Why?
From what I understand, Sleep, is I'm still a little bit confused about this. I don't think it was the fact that he didn't have the grades or whatever. I think it was more fact that some of the credits that he took wouldn't transfer into Michigan. And that's kind of what my understanding is about it. And it's quite possibly that I'm wrong on this. But yeah, and so admissions at Michigan is actually apparently pretty difficult. I didn't realize that. This isn't the first time it's happened to a recruit that Michigan wanted. So this is an ongoing battle with Michigan. But with that said, he is not coming back to UNC. He has chosen to stay into the portal right now. Things could switch, but from what I understand, he's going to stay in the portal. And I have a short list of schools which are interested in him and where I think he could end up. I think he could end up at Missouri. He's from St. Louis, hometown school. Dennis Gates has done a great job for Mizzou. He's kind of turned that around. I think he'd actually be a pretty good fit for them. Memphis, Penny Hardaway, head coach. I've heard those rumors. Now, Indiana is also another school before he went to Michigan that a lot of people were speculating that he would end up. Mike Woodson's done a pretty good job. He's had some good talent. Obviously, the appeal there is you get to play for a longtime NBA coach. And, you know, kids nowadays, especially Caleb, he has ambitions to play at the NBA level. And so I'm sure they're selling him on, hey, I know what it takes. We run an NBA system. You would fit better here. And I could see that. Now, also, Texas and Illinois. Illinois is very close to St. Louis. Champaign, not that far. I don't see that being a good fit. There were some chemistry issues on Illinois this year. They were a roller coaster team, and they had a lot of talent. Brad Underwood is an old school coach. He will get in your face. I just don't see that being a good fit, although there are some rumors there, and so I want to report that. And also Texas. Texas is an appealing school. Rodney Terry's done a pretty good job since they let go of their coach with some off the court issues. There was an arrest. Rodney Terry took over, did a good job. They won the Big 12 conference tournament, which is a pretty big deal. And they gave him the head coaching job. He's done a good job there. So those are the schools that are apparently, you know, there's interest both from Caleb and from the schools, but also there's a one school where I think he fits the best. And I haven't seen a lot of rumors there. I did early on, but that's Arkansas. I think Eric Musselman is a great coach. I think he's done good things. He's also been to, I think, besides last year, back-to-back Elite Eights. He's been a heck of a coach. I think he's got a heavy personality. And if you look at his team this year, he's done really good with players who are extremely athletic, but not the best outside shooters. And he's found a way to make that work. And I think that would be good for Caleb because I think he would maximize his potential. And also there's a coach that can really lead a team deep into the tournament, knows what it takes to get the team ready. So that's the list, Sleep, that I had for Caleb. And that's all the updates I have. I'm not sure where DeMarco Dunn's going to go. I know he entered the portal and we talked about it last time. But there are some rumors that DeMarco Dunn could go back home to Arizona. Steve Robinson, longtime UNC assistant, is on staff there. Also, DeMarco is from Tucson, so that would be interesting. But we wish both these guys nothing but the best. I do think they came in with a good attitude and wanted the best when they're on the court. But obviously, the year that we had, there's going to be a lot of changes, and they decided to take their talent somewhere else. So that's all I have, Sleep. But I do have one other thing UNC-related.
The big women, time news.
Women's tennis team took home the national championship. So congrats to you guys. And one other thing is I'm just destroying pickleball courts. I need a mixed doubles partner here in Chapel Hill. If any of you guys want to just come on over and be my partner, convert, we can go work the courts. I swear I'm not as bad as you probably think. I might actually give you some work. So looking for candidates. So I'm also recruiting right now as well.
Do you really?
I am kind of recruiting. I do want to have a mixed partner, mixed doubles partner.
Oh, mixed. Okay. I got
yeah.
It.
So,
all right. So I'm Sleep Dog out.
Well, I don't know. I am
playing on the weekends. I forget one of the things I left out about Alaska. I went to a pickleball, the place where pickleball originated, right off the coast of Seattle, little island. Anyway, shout out to the women's tennis team. Big time. It was the national championship where they played NC State, right? In the NCAA final, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's always
I was watching last night and this isn't a slight to anybody. I just had no idea that tennis, men's, women's, whatever, I had no idea it was on. And I go in there and I'm like, oh yeah, I thought, because I'm thinking like baseball's in there in that weird spot where you can't remember if they're in the ACC championship or the NCAAs or whatever right now. And so I saw that on last night and I was checking it. I was watching. And saw they pulled it out. So that's congrats, ladies. That's a big dub. The tennis is a big sport. Like I got a feeling that 5 to 10 years from now, like tennis will be on the come up. Especially like it's gonna be interesting too with some of these little this is a tangent, but some of these NILs, how they're gonna influence the popularity of certain sports, I feel like. And tennis is something that especially as golf just continues to get more, I think it always starts on the pro level and then sort of like trickles down. Baseball 10 years ago, nobody gave a shit. And then sort of like as TV and things came about, like baseball, college baseball is a lot bigger than it used to be. And, I think as golf continues to get boring, tennis has a lot of different stars and personalities and stuff like that at the pro level, both men's and women's. And one of the cool things about tennis is probably going to dig myself a hole for saying this, but it's true, is the women's side is just as entertaining as the men's side. Like I'll sit there and watch a women's tennis match. Again, that's not a slight. I'm just not watching WNBA, for example, or I'm not really, watching softball or some other stuff. But I think in general, those two, sort of in terms of like soccer and tennis, in terms of consumability on the women's side, I think those are very popular games among, all fans, and you don't see the same disparity. This is what I'm trying to say. Like, you don't see the same disparity between viewership necessarily in those sports as you do in some of the other like male dominant sports. So it's interesting to see, man. And it's always a cool story to hear. Anytime you're going to beat State, much less for a title.
We just built a whole new tennis facility here at UNC, Sleep.
And hell yeah.
I mean, you guys should get online and look at the tennis facilities at UNC. They're pretty sick. And the other thing I was going to say, Sleep, is I've been playing, obviously, you guys, if you follow me on social media, I play a ton of pickleball. I'm addicted to pickleball. I love it. The tennis community is very passionate because you cross paths with each other. Usually pickleball courts are very close to tennis courts, and the tennis people, good God. I mean, these people are, you would think they just own everything, every tennis court.
I bet they're hot about it.
Oh boy. And, the pickleball. So I kind of stay out of it. you know, I'm like, hey, you know, go do your thing, go do the tennis courts, blah, blah, blah. I really don't. For some reason, I just stay out of this one. And but the older pickleball players, whew, oh, yeah, Sleep. I see you with the pickleball shirt, and I love it.
That's good, because I bought this for you when I was there.
Sleep. Hey, thank you. And also, I want to get you on the court. We got to do some work, man. On the court.
And this is Bainbridge Island, guys. Pickleball, where it all started.
Long time ago.
This place, you'd know it. And you know that pickleball was started by some fucking old people. A whole island, man. I was the youngest person there by 150 years.
But those older people,
some trees there younger than people that live there.
Hey, they will let the tennis people have it. So there's a lot of tension there. But I love pickleball, man, guys. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. It's a big Hawk's a big time pickleball player. I'd love to play. And I watched some of the videos online, like, and it's very clear. Like, at first you're sort of like, come on, this shit is, it's like glorified ping pong. But no, you can tell some athletes. I'll be sucking wind, man. Anyway, on to other basketball news. So we just got done. Caleb Love, there's your Carolina update. Long story short, we still don't have nobody has any idea what's going on. And you know who else doesn't have any idea what's going on? The Lakers. They're getting smoked. And it's kind of an interesting storyline with Denver, right? They're just blowing them out. You got Jamal Murray, who's like basically, it's weird because like I feel like this is my personal opinion. Like, obviously, I like LeBron. I said that I thought though that you know, Lakers were gonna pull it out. The Lakers were gonna win the title. Doesn't look too promising now. But it's weird because I feel like Denver is kind of becoming unlikable, right? They're like the underdog for sure, and they shouldn't be, as we've discussed, right? They're the best team. They got the best player, probably the best home crowd, and then they maybe besides the Heat, and then they have the best advantage because when they're at home, which they will have the home court advantage the rest of the playoffs, they're you know 20,000 feet in the sky. Everybody's sucking wind. So, but like, you know, they're winning and the coach is like complaining. And then Jamal Murray is like, hey, dude, I'm better than everybody. And you know, I should get more credit for that, which, I mean, dude, he's playing outstanding. But it seems like some classic Kentucky bullshit. And, you know, I don't know. He's just like not that likable. Jokic is awesome. I mean, everybody likes that dude because all he does is shows up and just goes to work. He showed up looking like Peaky Blinders Tommy Shelby last game and just hung like a, you know, dude, he's just putting up numbers that are absurd. But do you think, I guess at this point, do the Lakers even win a game? I guess they play again tomorrow night. Do you think they even win a game?
From their mentality and the way they looked after last game, no. But it is LeBron James, and it's hard for me not to picture him mustering out a win in L.A. And I thought this would be a better series, but I did think Denver would take it from the get. I'm also on record saying that. But I think what people aren't understanding is, yeah, Jamal Murray and Jokic are doing a ton of work, but Denver also has guys. It's kind of like the old school NBA in a little bit, like Aaron Gordon. He's not a great outside shooter, but he is like a throwback because he's one of those guys when I was playing the NBA, he has size, he has strength, and he has unbelievable athleticism, and he also has the ability to guard multiple positions. And they have a, like, Jeff Green comes off the bench, plays big minutes. They only have an 8-man rotation, basically. And Jokic is just, the fact that he's not MVP this year is somebody, I think that it was stolen to him, and also I think it was stolen from him. And I think people get bored of voting the same way each year. I feel like this has been his best year, and it's been unbelievable, and we're not even really appreciating it. I don't think Denver has actually gotten the credit that they have deserved all year, because it seems like every year before this, it seems like they've been in a good position going into the playoffs. It just, there was this mentality or this thought that, yeah, they're really, really good, but they don't have anybody that can win them a championship. Even though Jokic put up the numbers and the stats to be an MVP, no one considered him like the type of star that could lead a team to a championship. And what I like that we're watching right now is you're starting to see that. And the disappointing from the Lakers standpoint is, yeah, Anthony Davis has been considered a long time as the, you know, it's been it's not even non-negotiable. At some point, people were arguing this guy could be the best power forward ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, whoa, hey, slow down, buddy. This guy, his durability is a question. He does have some off nights, but when he's on, he's really good. But he's not, I mean, he's not on every single night. And I think his inconsistency is coming back to haunt him in a lot of these big games. And it's been very disappointing because at this stage, LeBron can only do so much. I don't care what anybody says. LeBron is not LeBron from 10 years ago, people. He is damn good. If
he
was,
he wouldn't be having this conversation.
No. Yeah. And he's damn good right now, and he's an all-star still, and he's one of the best NBA players out there, but he is not what he once was. And you're starting to see that decline a little bit, which, I mean, what he's doing right now at this age is just, it is incredible. And he should be taking some of that load off of LeBron. LeBron is still having to do as much as he did 10 years ago, and he's not capable of doing that. And I just don't think they have the surrounding cast.
You know what around I think when people hate on LeBron James? I get on Twitter. I'm like you, dude. I'm getting sucked further and further into the Twitter sphere, right? These people are just nuts. Is I think to myself, I love looking at people's pictures when they're brave enough to like put their own picture on their Twitter profile and people talking shit about LeBron James. I just imagine myself, if I started at the baseline and I sprinted as fast as I could to the other baseline and back, you'd have to take me to the hospital. I mean, I'd be having a panic. My heart rate would be 312. And like, LeBron James is a year younger than me, almost to the day, and which is sad to think about. But I don't know why that's where I default to is like, dude, okay, get your ass on the baseline and just all out sprint one into the other. Let's see how many times you can make it up and down before you just go into just fucking cardiac arrest. So, you know, what he's, and the funny thing is, of course, is like athletes being old versus regular people being old is accelerated time. LeBron James is not old, but he's old playing basketball. And I'm with you, man. I've always liked LeBron. And I just have never understood. Like you always are on Twitter, and Skip Bayless, dude, is the worst. He just says like whatever is obviously wrong and just goes all in on it. And it's a shtick that's like so dumb to me. But, you know, the fact that people just, I mean, I understand like when Kobe was around, like Kobe was a guy that I hated. Like I liked to root against Kobe because I was a LeBron guy. I didn't like think Kobe was trash. I just was like, I didn't like him because he was the enemy, right? But I always respected and enjoyed it. And like when he was on TV, I was watching. And that's what I don't understand about people is like they just look for reasons to bitch about LeBron James and talk about how he's not this or not that. And it's like every team you look at, this team included, like Anthony Davis is a great player. And so what everybody's going to do is they say, oh, well, you couldn't win with a dude. Anthony Davis isn't a championship player, though. I mean, he won a title with LeBron. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but I'm with you on the LeBron thing. And what I worry about is this is just going to be another example of LeBron taking a team deep into the playoffs that shouldn't have been there to begin with, basically by himself. Because AD, let's not forget, was out, you know, however long during the season. And I think LeBron missed some time too. But LeBron's the reason they're there because night in, night out, his like, you can basically like, print his stat sheet before the game even starts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been doing that for 20 years. And so, dude, if they get swept out of the playoffs, you can say Jordan never got swept or this guy or that guy or whatever and make whatever argument you want to. But you're never going to convince me that this dude is not like, I'm just enjoying every game you got left because you got to figure, man, but he could play five more years, but he's not going to, you know, you're exactly right, is that his talents are diminishing,
yeah,
ever so slightly because he's still so great, but yeah, he's not the guy anymore that's going to go out and get you 60 and win the game. Like he's just not. So I just trying to cling to it while it lasts, man, because ain't no telling when it'll come again.
Sleep. And I was watching the game last night and I was like, man, LA just needs a, you know, Austin Reeves is their third piece and he's having a pretty good year, but in my opinion, that's not a guy that
nah.
That's not your third guy. I mean, and he's going to get paid. He's going to get a pretty good payday based off what he's done. But LeBron has made players look so good because of his ability to pass, put them in position. He's a great leader. He also knows everything. He knows plays. He knows how to get guys in position to score. And he's done that with, you know, these young guys. And, you know, it's just, he needs help. And I was thinking, man, maybe Damian Lillard comes over to the Lakers somehow. Mm-hmm. They figure that out. But I think it's going to take a megastar to make them a championship team next year. Cause I don't think AD has the durability. And also I think he's been a little too inconsistent, and mm-hmm. I think he's been a little humbled. And also last night when I'm watching the game, Pau Gasol was there, and mm-hmm. in my mind, I was just like, AD will never be Pau Gasol. Mm-mm. And I played against Pau, and I played against AD, and I played against Pau in his prime. And when he wants to go, Pau, when he wanted to go, man, I'm telling you, Sleep, it was unbelievable watching him do work, because I remember when Roy Hibbert gave him business in Indiana, like just lit him up. And then he was pissed off about it and kind of had all, and he went to work the next time we played him. He remembered that. And I was just like, man, this guy, this is unbelievable. And that's how he played in the playoffs. And I don't think AD, and it's going to sound crazy because a lot of people would consider AD better than Powell, and not me. So that's
he's definitely your kind of highlight reel guy, right? And like, he's your, I don't know, your star, right? Whereas as Powell is more pedestrian. I get a lot of the same stuff with Dirk and some other like great players that, you know, just aren't like, you know, especially, and here's the thing for me.
He'll never be Dirk. Dirk is one of my all-time favorite. I played against Dirk, man. And I also saw Dirk win a national a championship. He will never be in that category to me. Dirk is an all-time top 15 Dirk.
And here's the thing is LeBron, I think, is in a place now where like, can two stars like sort of coexist? Maybe. Like, the best examples I have are like, I'm not saying coexist, but I mean like, can there be just pure parity as to, hey, this team has two A guys? And you got it in Phoenix with Durant and Booker. You probably have it in Boston with Brown and Tatum. Right now you don't have it in Denver. I mean, it's like as good as Jamal Murray is. I mean, Jokic is the guy. You know, if you think around the league to other places that have like big twos, big threes, like there is a very clear alpha. And the problem, I think, is that LeBron now is probably needs to be like Dwayne Wade when LeBron was with the Heat, right? Like, great player. But you pick between the two and you need somebody, because I think you're still always like naturally going to default to, it'd be the same thing. Like, you could put MJ on the team right now and you're going to say, nah, I'm going with MJ, because you know, you have it ingrained in your mind. Mm-hmm. But the reality is like AD doesn't seem capable of being the guy, and he's in a different position, right? Like, the guy needs to be able to score at will and create. And I think AD can do that a lot, but I just don't think a big man, other than like Kevin Durant, I don't think, you know, there's a lot of that. So my quandary with the way that roster is structured. And then the other thing is Austin Reeves. I love Austin Reeves, man. I think he's awesome. I love his story. I think he's fun to watch. I just love his like confidence. And even when he's just absurdly confident, but like, you know, if someone puts a gun to your head and asks if he's going to be in the league in 5 years, I mean, sure, he should be, but like, is he ever going to be an all-star? Is he ever going to push an all-star? Is he ever going to be a sixth man of the year? Like, you know, maybe he progresses to that, but like, that's who you're hanging your hat on. And that's what LeBron has had around him for a long time, other than Miami, is mostly players like Austin Reeves. And, you know, for a long time, he's been able to win that way, and he just can't anymore. I mean, you got to have like, I mean, theoretically, Russell Westbrook should have worked, but Russell Westbrook's old, right? You need mm-hmm. a guy like, I mean, like, you need a Drew Holiday and a Chris Middleton and some of these guys that got on the Heat and a couple of these guys. You know, look at the way these other teams are structured top to bottom. And, like, guys are producing every single night. And, you know, I saw an article today where they were talking about Mo Bamba's coming back to give him minutes against Jokic. It's like, okay, man. If he's your damn swan song, then okay. But you know, I don't see, it's like you said, man, they're in LA tonight, or is it tomorrow? It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
I don't see them you know, maybe they win one. But it's just hard. It's just like, dude, you got to, dude, LeBron's got a lot of miles on him, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes in deep in the playoffs every single year and has been doing it for decades, and or what seemed like decades. And eventually, dude, you're just going to run out of steam. So I think Denver probably finishes him off. And then the interesting series, the segue, is Boston-Miami, because, dude, everybody's written off Miami. Damn, every time they, you know, I bet there's still a lot of people that don't think Miami's going to win this series. And they just keep proving people wrong. And I think that Denver-Miami, despite all of this, is still going to be like a boring-ass finals. Like, nobody, like, your average fan doesn't give a shit about those two franchises. But if you like basketball, I mean, hell, man, this is some this would be a hell of it should be a hell of a matchup should that pan out. But my question to you is this Boston situation. We talked about this a few weeks ago about how there seems to be a little bit of underlying tension between Brown wanting more, more of the A guy kind of role. And I don't know, man, I just watch Tatum, who I like, even though he's a Duke guy. I like Jason Tatum. But, mm-hmm. dude, if he doesn't fucking fold like a lawn chair in the fourth quarter, I don't understand, you know, why this dude isn't establishing himself as that next echelon of great players. And it just seems like when the fourth quarter hits, dude, he's done.
Yeah, and the easy target in this situation is Joe Mazzulla, the first-year head coach, who, to me, I think he's done a great job. And yeah. people criticize him, blah, 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 blah. Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA. I mean, he's much more, you know, polished. He's had a lot more experience, championship, too. I don't know. And the thing is, you don't have to, like, diagramming plays that are plays for players of Tatum's caliber in the fourth quarter. Yeah, you can do that, but... Listen, the play that he's going to diagram, Spoelstra's seen that. He knows what they're going to run. They're going to be on top of those plays. Players have to make plays, period. And, you know, this kind of comes down to me, just the players. And mm-hmm. I have heard that there's been rumors about, Al Horford talking to the team like, hey, we got to take this more serious. And that comes just down to being more professional. Mm-hmm. And, It will. I am curious to see how this shakes out, because I could see a scenario where, you know, Miami takes it 4-1, 3-1, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whenever they go back to Boston. But I don't see Boston getting out of this hole.
Dude, Miami's an insane place to play.
Yeah.
Like in the playoffs?
Yeah, at home. And also, it does have an effect that heat will wear on you. Just being in Miami also mm-hmm. is kind of tough. I don't want to write off the Celtics, but I think the Heat takes
hard to.
Yeah. Especially what they just came off of, how they beat the 76ers down 3-1 and coming back and winning. But this isn't the Sixers. I think Jimmy Butler's playing as good as anybody outside of Jokic. So I expect there's this to be a Miami Denver finals. And, I'm actually pretty excited about it. I think every sports writer and reporter will be at the Miami games. Mm-hmm. Somehow they'll try to, you know, miss the Denver games.
Call it sick the Denver game.
Yeah, but
eating gummies.
The reason I like this is because Jokic was drafted by Denver, and it's just an old school product. And Denver, I don't think, has ever been to the finals. And so this would be, to me, kind of organically, you know, this team is old-fashioned. They didn't go mm-hmm. out and get a super team. They created it. I love their coach. I love his mentality. And I love the fact that Jokic looks like a janitor and comes out.
Oh, and just dude, gives he's great. And I mean, I talked about kind of the unlikable thing, and that's probably a little bit of an overstatement. Like, Jamal Murray's the part of this. I'm like, dude, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, you're killing it. And you really are. You're establishing yourself. And okay, there's a little bit of that, but it's almost like, you know, if you go out and beat your chest about it, it just has this tinge of like, you haven't been there before, right? You're earning it right in front of everybody. And like, I just think you're kind of selling it a little bit by, you know, kind of asking for it. But hey, listen, I'm sleep dog sitting on the couch watching a game. So do what you want. I just, Jokic is just so fun to watch. Jimmy Butler is becoming, you know, one of my favorite players. I've always liked Jimmy Butler, but, and it's amazing to me You know, he was chirping at, I guess, Philly, some about Philly keeping Thybul or somebody,
Tobias Harris,
something said to him. Yeah. And so, you know, Jimmy has always been a great player, like very efficient, very good, always kind of seen as like just right on the outside of the top players. But for whatever reason, it's like he's both respected and disrespected at the same time. And then, man, what he's doing in the playoffs, because you forget, I mean, the last series, he put the team on his back and won that shit by himself. And then they don't even have Tyler Herro, who's like their third best player. Adebayo's playing out of his mind. And, you know, here's the thing with me. I used to think when LeBron and D-Wade and all them were there, I was like, one of my things that I thought for a long time was, I was like, if you really look at coach, so this was always my thing when I was, you know, listening to the debate about LeBron versus Jordan or Kobe. It's like Jordan and Kobe went on those runs. They had unquestionable, like all-time great players around them, and they had Phil Jackson. And I think a lot of people forget that everybody talks about the team on the floor. Very few people sort of look at the coach. And LeBron's winning with guys like Mike Brown. Hell, I can't remember who they had before that in Cleveland. Doug Collins or somebody. I mean, just some scrubs. And then he went to the Heat and had Spoelstra, who was young, right? Had not really been in the league that long, and they won. And I was just like, dude, this Spoelstra guy, like, I mean, LeBron is that good that he's just winning with no players around him and no coaches. And of course, Miami, he had the players around him, right? We all understand that now. But I was wrong as hell about Eric Spoelstra, dude. That guy can coach. I mean, dude, he's putting the Heat have been in the Western Conference Finals. Like, is it, I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals, like, is it the last 4 years? It's something dumb, man. Like, they're always there and they're never expected to be there. And you look at their roster, and that's also homegrown. I mean, they might have some journeymen that they've, you know, obviously Jimmy Butler wasn't drafted and brought up by there, but Jimmy Butler wasn't, you know, wasn't your Supermax guy that you wanted to pair with James Harden and some other dude and, you know, and make a run at, but just put some, you know, statues around him and win a championship. So, I don't know, man. I just have a whole new level of respect having watched those guys throughout this postseason. Kind of like I said, absolutely wrong about Spoelstra. That dude seems to be, I mean, he might be the best coach in the NBA. And it's just interesting because, I mean, he was a film guy or some shit. And Pat, it just goes to show how smart Pat Riley must be to identify that and put him there, man. Like, and Pat Riley's a G, just sitting there like Godfather watching all this go down. So I don't know, man. I just think I'm with you. It ain't the box office finals that the NBA wants, but the Denver Heat series has the potential to be like great basketball.
Yeah, and you brought up Pat Riley. I think he's one of the best GMs out there. I think he's done a great job. He's also one of the toughest. I don't know if you know many stories about him, but I mean, he is one of those guys that if you get out of shape or you start to look like you're out of shape, he will check you. He used to have a rule where guys had to be under a certain weight. They also had a body fat percentage that you couldn't go over if you wanted to play. He's old school, and I liked it. But Miami is a very appealing organization, and he's done a good job handling that. But also, Miami should get the top free agents, as they do, because it's Miami, and it's a beautiful place, and it's warm year-round, great weather. But they've done a great job with that program.
Yeah, it's interesting to sort of to think about that part too, because it's like you're just looking at the teams that have been traditionally great, and you know, kind of reason Sacramento usually sucks, dude. It's Sacramento. Like, who wants to go play in Sacramento when you could go play in Chicago or you could go play in LA or whatever? I mean, like, that's the other part here. Milwaukee, right? Like, you know, there's some places to play in the league that you're just sort of like, yeah, I'll probably just stay home. So anyway, it should be a great series. As we record tonight is game three. They go back to Miami, and you know, for all intents and purposes, Miami's got to be the favorite at this point, but they're damn 8 seed, man. They almost lost the play-in and didn't make the playoffs at all. And here they are. So that would be a cool story. As far as anything else goes, the only other, trying to think of what else we had.
Sleep, did you watch the, how about the Hurricanes playing until 1 a.m.? Oh,
forgot about this. All right, so here's what happened. The, what was the four overtime game? I went out, it was on the weekend when the season, the game started. And, no, it was Friday. It was a Friday, I think. And my buddy Wyatt, you remember Wyatt. My buddy Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, I love Wyatt.
Don't know Sleep Dog, man. My friend Wyatt literally won a car on The Price is Right. Okay. Like that's how and this guy's life, his day-to-day life is just as interesting as that story. So think of a guy named Wyatt that won a car on The Price is Right. And wherever your mind goes is probably, you know, damn near spot on of what happens with this dude day to day. So he's lived in LA teaching inner city middle school kids. Alternative energy is like what he taught these kids in middle school in the inner city in LA for 5 years. And he calls me up and he's like, "Hey man, what's up?" I'm like, "Hey, great to hear from you, dude." And I've seen him a couple times, right? I went out there and he's been home a few times. Like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" "Not much." He's like, "I'm in the neighborhood." I'm like, "What? All right." And I'm like, "Well, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Oh, I moved back like 3 months ago." I'm like, "Well, okay." And I mean, Wyatt was invited to my wedding. Like, just, we're close friends, and this is just him, man. You just never know what you're gonna get. So, you know, long story short, that resulted in me putting a couple into the wind, and I came home about 8 o'clock, and I was like, "Oh boy, I should have cut myself off after 3 instead of 15, right?" So I just lay down, fall asleep, and I wake up probably 1, and just like, "Oh God," you know, feeling like hell. Go get some water. I check the score. I'm like, "Well, I don't know if the Canes won." Check the score. It's like, game's in overtime. I'm like, "What? This game started 4 hours ago." So I can't go back to sleep. So I just lay there and I felt like I watched an entire hockey game. Second overtime, third overtime, fourth overtime. I'm just like, you know, invested. And then all of a sudden they lose. And here's my thing. The four overtime game. Everybody's like, "Oh, longest game in history. How often?" Dude, first of all, man, it would suck to be there. It would suck even worse if you stay all that time and then they lose, which is what happened. So I don't know, man. And then they're losing overtime last night. And I don't know if they're going to get out of that hole or not, because they did the same thing Boston did. You know, lose two at home, go down to Florida.
Hockey's a tough sport. Like, it is a weird one because it's one of the most unpredictable sports to me. I mean, just hell, they're not out of it. I mean,
they're not.
And, but it's not looking good, Sleep. And I will tell you this. Wouldn't be looking good for me if I had to watch a four overtime hockey game. And I don't care if Wayne Gretzky's playing. I'm not, hey, listen, I'm in bed by 11, period.
11, man. I was like, that was the thing. It's like, you know, I caught a little buzz, but I wasn't going to be in bed by then anyway, you know? So it was just like, you know, I just, hey, listen, Canes, just get one down there in Florida, bring it back home, you know, Sleep Dog, Big Hawk, we'll be at 5. And when we're there, we don't lose. So, you know, that in that case, you guys just got to go down there and get one more and boom, 7-game series and we're back in a Stanley Cup final. So, yeah, I think with hockey, 2-0 is not like the end of the world, but you don't want to lose 2 at home. But also with hockey, I also feel like, dude, home ice and all that sort of stuff. Hell, I don't know what I'm talking. I literally don't know what I'm talking about as I say this out loud. I have no fucking idea if this is right, wrong, or otherwise. But it just doesn't feel like home ice advantage is like that crazy. Like basketball, yeah. I mean, but hockey, you're just like moving around so fast. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in hockey, you can sort of lose track of the fact that the crowd is loud because you're just like hauling ass for like 40, 50, 80, 90 seconds at a time. And then you go sit back down. Whereas with basketball, it's more methodical. Football, same kind of thing. Like, you're just not moving so fast. And so I would imagine that it's probably harder to get lost in the moment on those sports. But God knows we're pulling for the Canes. All three players that we know combined. When the 10 playoffs come around, we love it. So I hope they win.
Marcus was at the game. He told me he didn't get home till 2:45.
Damn.
Dude. That dude is a great. He woke up, went to work the next day. God bless him.
It's a soldier. So it must not have been Friday. See, I don't even remember. But yeah, I'm telling you, dude, I woke up and I was like, well, if I'd stayed there and they won, then it's an all-time story. You know what I mean? Yeah. You stay there and you lose. And you're like, dude, I ain't going to these shits no more. But anyway.
I also was thinking, hey, Sleep, I was thinking, I wonder if that dude that had all those hopiums, I wonder how many he slammed this game. Could you imagine?
Well, that's what I was thinking too, because don't they stop selling them with 3 minutes, like 10 minutes to go into the, could you imagine staying that long with no beer?
Man, they had
hockey to, fan.
So also, let's just say, you know, five, I mean, you know, at what point do they're just like, fuck it. And also the other thing is, if that does happen and they didn't have a cutoff, legally, would they have to stop selling at
2 a.m.?
Wow.
I guess. I don't know.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Not much of a lawyer, but you're right. I mean, I think in history, there was some game maybe it was a baseball game or something where, dude, it was so long that they finally just suspended it and had to finish it later. So, like, I feel like if they had gone, like, 6-7 overtimes, somebody on the league would be like, listen, guys, like, I just don't understand why. First of all, I mean, I guess the hockey purists don't like the shootout. Dude, I love a shootout. Hell, the overtime. Put them in the shootout.
Dude,
it's the best.
I love when they're, like, 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Dude,
every overtime you should lose a player. And then guess what? Like, what would have happened in that game is they'd have been playing 2-on-2 hockey.
Oh, it's amazing.
And 6-on-6. And then if you go into the 7th overtime, just the goalies got to play against each other. That's it. Oh, man. Anyway, we come up with some great rules that could change the landscape of a lot of sports. So anybody out there listening.
We're all open. Help. Yeah, let us know what rules need to be changed. And that would be interesting for all sport. I don't know how the baseball thing is going this year where they're...
Dude, the pitch clock, man. Everybody, I mean, how many... You've been watching a lot more baseball?
Oh, all the time. I just love it.
I got a baseball hat on.
Oh, man.
I mean, shit, that's how much the pitching clock has affected it. Couldn't tell you the first thing about baseball, but I do know the pitch clock is working. Dude, I just got a new TV. I was a little late hopping on here because old Sleep Dog. I bought a TV, and my wife was like, made me pull out measuring tape and put it on the wall, and she was like, mm-mm, we ain't getting that one. So I had to take that one back. It was the old 77. So I got a 67. Yeah.
Wow.
Man, you don't say it like that, dude. She's gonna hear you and feel vindicated and all this shit. So I took it back. We compromised and did what she wanted to do. So I got a 65 in there. I was just putting it up. Didn't even mount it. I just put it on the table because I couldn't wait to get it on the
spend all the time down. Getting one. Go get an 80-incher.
I know. She said I couldn't get 85. And they had an 83, and I was like, I'm not going to go 83. I'm going to go 77. I'm not going to take it full advantage. I come back with a 77, and she's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I was like, well, you got to be kidding me, man. You said not 85. I could have gotten an 83. Oh, I made the choice to get a 77, and then I got hell to pay.
I'm just like, man, I went out and got this TV over Christmas when all these – Black Friday sales, whatever. I got a real cheap one. I got a real small one. And my little brother saw it, and he just roasted me. And then, like, my six-year-old nephew comes in there. He's like, oh, your TV's so small.
I need binoculars. This damn thing is about three-quarters the size of my wall in the living room in there where I got my space. But, you know, I mean, when you get a new TV, oh man, it's about like getting a new car. You know, I'll be watching anything. You ain't gonna be able to peel me off of that TV.
I got a new car. I mean,
did you?
I'm back in a truck sleep. I couldn't. I had to have a bed.
The mulch and stuff you carry around.
Been hanging around in Kentucky too long. I came back pickup. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I put a deer back there and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I know you haul a lot of stuff around in there. I'll be watching Attenborough and all kinds of shit, man. I can't wait. But I'm about to melt in this couch. Might not even go to work tomorrow. Just watch Judge Judy and OLED. Anyway.
By the way, do you know how much Judge Judy makes a year?
A fortune.
I think she is one of the richest people in TV. I'm going to look this up right now.
Yeah.
This is a very, and you guys will be floored. Judge Judy.
I'm going to chat GPT it. I'm going to say, how much is... ChatGPT, guys, by the way, has an app now. Let's see. What is Judge Judy's?
You're going to be floored, Sleep Dog.
Net worth.
Well, net worth.
Man, I wish we were live.
What do you think she makes a year? Just guess.
I already know the answer. Net worth, I already know. A year? She probably turning in 40, 50 mil a year.
$47 million a year.
Bless America. Lord have mercy. And now, and everybody wants to, have you seen who the new judge is? The new celebrity judge?
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. I'll watch that show. I will watch. Dude, Steve Harvey to me is hilarious. Dude, Judge Judy's net worth is $440 million. I mean, that is A-Rod money from back in my day. That's what we used to say. Good God. We should be making at least, I mean, we should be 4.4 then on Sleep Hawk Worldwide. Dude, this shit's better than Judge Judy. But
yeah, let's go to law school and become judge.
Dude, do you think she actually did?
I don't know. That's a good
I wonder
question.
If she's like a chiropractor of lawyers. You know what I mean? People talk shit about chiropractors. Like, you ain't a doctor, bro. She's a bunch of snakes.
There are some good chiropractors out there. Oh, and there's some like people who are just like, hey, you got this going on. You know, we're going to take some x-rays. And
wiggle that big like, toe for me and smack your neck.
I read the manual too, motherfucker. I'll go see him. Go.
Oh, man. You got anything else, Big Hawk?
Stay safe.
Especially the chiropractor. Stay safe.